fellow Egypts. Welcome to Taranoia with me, Tara Flynn, the biggest Egypt of them all. Egypt just meaning you're a bit of a fool sometimes, because we're all fools sometimes. We don't know everything. But even though we're all Egypts, we are all doing our best. That's all we can hope for. And that's the subject of this podcast. So, hey, fellow Egypts, I hope you're really well. You know, I think some of you felt a bit maybe kink shamed last week when I was doing my guided meditation, because I said that the seagulls would never poop on you in your fantasy, that no one would ever poop on you again. And then when I heard that back, I went, oh, what if someone wants to be pooped on? I don't want to kink shame all you poop lovers out there. So you're totally included. And so long as it's consensual and you're both mad for it, get pooping. I don't care. I honestly don't. Go for it. You need to have whatever you need in your life to make your life better, so long as both of you or however many else are in on it. Are in on the gag, the poopy gag. This episode of Taranoia comes to you in association with snake oil. It's terrible, but loads of us are going to buy it. Snake oil, it's being sold all over the place. Sometimes hidden, sometimes not so hidden. It's still snake oil. Snake oil, it's nutrition free. It has no calories. It's absolutely useless, but it's sold in a shiny bottle. So loads of us are going to buy it. Snake oil, being sold to you by snakes. Snake oil. Hope you enjoyed that metaphorical ad there. This episode of Taranoia is called Tricked. It's about which of us can be tricked, who's susceptible to tricking. And the answer is all of us. That's TLDR, all of us. But that doesn't mean there isn't hope. I think the fact that we're all susceptible to being tricked means we might all be open to seeing when we've been tricked. And maybe we won't buy the snake oil after all. Ah, do you see how it all ties in? Whoa, there's a setup for you. I should say, this is kind of tricky because as an Irish person and definitely as an Egypt, I find it very difficult to take praise, even harder to take criticism, frankly, but even praise is hard. I sort of feel like with reviews and things like that, if you accept one thing, if you accept that the criticism is true, you have to accept that the praise is true. That means you have to accept that the criticism is true, and it goes cyclical like that. So I think it's best to have your own views on what your output is or what your work is about, so that you can't be swayed either way, that your head isn't turned or you're not crushed by either ups or downs in terms of people's views of your work, because you have to be happy with it yourself. If it's the best you're able to do, if you're doing your best, then no one's opinion really matters. If you've got customers, then yeah, they should be happy or happy enough. Enough of them should be happy. The thing with this podcast is people are free to listen or not. So that's great. And to the people who are paying to listen, patrons, thank you so much. I have to give you a special thanks. But to everyone who listens, I'm so grateful. The thing is, though, when you get an award, as I did this week, clang, there it is, award dropped. And I didn't drop the award, it's glass, so that would be a catastrophe. But I did get an award for outstanding contribution to human rights from Amnesty International Ireland for contribution to the repeal campaign by telling my own story. Now, the reason I was on Amnesty's radar, really, I suppose, is that I told my story of having to travel for an abortion. I told it with them initially at Electra Picnic, and I had their support, and I was able to ask them lots of questions afterwards, and they supported me in very real, very human way through all the abuse that I took and all of the shaming and stigmatizing that happened when the campaign really got under steam. So I'm really grateful to them. And so it was lovely to get an acknowledgement. I shared it with the people from TFMR Ireland, Termination for Medical Reasons Ireland, people who shared their stories, even though they were grief laden. It's stories of wanted pregnancies gone horribly wrong, grieving parents sharing their stories, taking almost equal vilification. Although I was a slight lightning rod, because mine would have been what they call a bad abortion. You know, those unnecessary ones, like anyone has one for fun. You can listen to my episode called The A Word if you'd like to hear the full background story of what happened to me and what happened afterwards. So I shared it with huge honour and really humbling to share it with TFMR. But here's the thing. Why me? Why should I get an award? Well, there's no real reason. Awards are arbitrary like that. But why not me is the other thing. That's what I've got to see. If you take the criticism, you have to take the praise, and vice versa. So this one I'm going to accept really gratefully. I do share it with everyone who shared a story. Because why me is one side of the coin. Why me? No reason. Loads of other people shared their stories. Janet Nihulawan, Roisin Ingle, Lucy Watmo. And I definitely share it with them. Loads of people share their stories privately. I share it with them. But also it is really nice. Let me say this. It's really nice when you have been a lightning rod for abuse, when telling your story has affected your career. It is nice to get some kind of acknowledgement. So humbly and with as much grace as I can muster, I'm going to say I'm really grateful for the award and I accept it and thank you. It was lovely. It's a lovely thing. I was totally emotional. I kept saying the words I don't understand over and over, but I was really grateful for it. So that was this week. So thank you, Amnesty. Thank you, Colm O'Gorman. Thank you, Sir Katani. Thank you so much. I'm really, really grateful. And now we're back to, that was sort of a little trip out of real life. Awards are little trips out of real life, just nice little things along the road, a road which can be really bumpy and horrible. And at the moment, I feel like the world is a bit bumpy and horrible. That's why I did the guided meditation for you last week. But I realized this week that some people close to me, some people that I thought were very similar to me politically or in terms of human rights, that they'd been red-pilled. Now, they are not anti-Islam. They are not racists. They're none of those things, but they have been tricked by people who sell that stuff along with the rest of what they sell. This is where the snake oil comes in. They've been sold how to better themselves or how to think more broadly, like a basket of apples where it's like, oh, wow, I love apples. This basket of apples is great. This person sold me a basket of apples. Now there's just one poison apple in there with all the other good apples. I don't know which it is, but there's just one poison apple in there. But I'm going to keep buying my apples from this person. Now, my thoughts on that are, no matter how many good apples are in the basket this person is selling, if there's one that is pure poison, maybe don't buy your apples from that person anymore. Apples are available elsewhere. What I'm saying is you can get broad, deep, intellectual thought. You can get non-dogmatic thought. You can get self-help and ways to ease your pain without a side order of misogyny or racism or transphobia. Yeah, you can get a meal without a poison salad. You can get it lots of places. So if you find, this is my top advice, I'm not asking you to stop listening to those lads. I'm not going to name them. I actually don't rate them enough to name them. I think they're fools. I think they're absolute fools because to me what they're doing is so transparent. But what they are doing that's clever is they are offering young lads in pain a way out. And I totally get that. We all cling on to anything we're trying to ease our pain. It's just that these come with a side order of blaming another group or allowing, even if those people don't overtly blame the group, what they do is they don't discourage their followers from thinking it. I'm not immune. When I've been in pain, several times in my life, I've been in pain and then I've latched on to irrational things, even if they sound rational or they have pseudoscientific explanations. Pseudoscience isn't enough. Look for published, look for peer reviewed. Check out what the majority of the science community is saying about it. It sounds so simple, but it's such a good guideline. You cannot claim to be a rational science man if you're peddling pseudoscience. Things like race, realism. But anyway, in my own day, I've fallen for woo. I've fallen for, you know, that, oh, there's an energy connecting all of us. And maybe there is. Maybe you believe that. I'm not discounting your belief. You don't have to discount anyone else's beliefs to follow your own. Like being an atheist, which I am, doesn't make me better or cleverer than someone who's a staunch Catholic. It doesn't. It's just our set of beliefs. My belief is that there isn't a God. That's absolutely fine. Your belief is that there's a God. That's also absolutely fine. Whatever gets you through. But I've the only time I read horoscopes, or I used to read horoscopes in my day, was when I was heartbroken or absolutely so stressed out of my mind that I couldn't cope. And it was any little ray of hope I would latch onto. I'm not especially proud of it now because I do prefer to approach things from a science or rationale standpoint, but not to the detriment of others. I've followed gurus of wellness. Other people in the past used to sell out stadium tours, but they were, at least they were peddling kindness. They were peddling a sort of connectedness, a oneness, And although even some of that is bullshit, that's at least it was a connector. It wasn't a you're better than someone else. And letting that door open, which when it's at its extreme end, is incredibly dangerous. So while they might, these lads might not be touting danger, they might not be selling the dangerous end by ignoring the opening of the door they are opening, by saying we're at war with a particular religion or anything like that. They're being incredibly irresponsible, and I think they should be held accountable for it. And I definitely don't think you should put money in their pockets while they're doing it. It's just a suggestion. I can't make you do anything. I have no power. But if you're listening to me and you're interested in what I have to say, it's something I'd ask you to consider. Because understanding that more than one person I knew recently was believing really bad science that leads to othering groups that are not the same as theirs, I got frightened. I found it truly frightening. Almost as frightening as the time I used to call psychics on the phone. Yeah, I got that lonely. I got that sad. And I was paying money I didn't have to charlatans. If you know someone who you feel has a gift, I'm not saying don't believe them. I'm just saying I know there are charlatans out there in this community. I know they didn't have a gift. Everything they said was wrong, turned out to be wrong. Nothing they so-called predicted. You can't predict things. I don't believe you can. And again, if you're getting comfort from this, I used to. So please, if you're getting comfort from what they say, I'm not judging you. I've been there. I'm not judging you if you find comfort or your mind expanded by these rational lads. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you I was there. But it's not necessarily a good place. I've also been tricked in the past. We're talking about being tricked. I was tricked by the patriarchy to the point that I used to say, hey, yeah, I'm just one of the lads. We don't need feminism at all. I've been tricked. I've been tricked by the Catholic Church for years. I had to deprogram myself. Took ages. That's why I'm now an atheist with a small a, because I don't want to be part of a dogmatic group that has a guru. Because you may not be following religion, but if you're following a dogma, it's the same. I don't want to be back in that world where I have to deprogram again. No thanks. So no gurus for me. I was tricked by Michael Jackson. I was one of the people during the trial saying, hey, he just wants to cuddle them. He's asexual. I bought his shtick. I bought his snake oil. I don't anymore. I regret those moments. We can all be taken in. We're all susceptible to being tricked. That's why magic works. That's why close-up magic works. Have you ever sat with a close-up magician where you're part of the group helping to do the trick? It's brilliant. You can sit there and know they're going to trick you. You know it's not magic. You know, and I wish that magic existed. Wouldn't life be brilliant if it did? I think things can be magical. I think coincidences can seem like magic. There can be moments of great good luck where it feels above and beyond the norm. That's wonderful. But we all know that what those lads are doing are misdirecting. The magic lads are misdirecting. That's their skill. They're misdirecting. They're fulfilling expectations you have about physics and proximity to people. We trust people too much. It's great. It's wonderful. That's what we need, is that hope. That's the flip side of the tricks, is hope. Because we believe that other people act in good faith all the time. But I've sat with close-up magicians where they've asked me to collude in the trick. I won't give away any tricks, don't worry. But the person who's been tricked, their eyes widen and they're, wow, I can't believe it. How did you do that? Well, we did it together. I'm not going to tell you how. I've said, they'll see me doing that. And the magician has said, no, they won't see it. They won't believe that you would do it. And they do it right under your nose. I'm just telling that story because it's a very frivolous thing. It's a fun thing. But misdirection, being tricked, it's so easy. We think we're cynical. We think we're savvy. We think we see everything under our noses, but we don't. And again, I'm back to the apples analogy. You know I love a good analogy. So my apples analogy, you know there's a poison apple in there. And if that's not enough for you to stop buying the apples, you have to question whether you agree with the poison that's on sale. I'm not saying you're poison. I'm just saying, is it okay to overlook? It's poisonous. You know it will harm other people. But if you're going to overlook that because there are some good apples in there. And I'm not saying, I keep saying I'm not saying in this. I'm not saying a lot, aren't I? But I'm not saying that the tricksters aren't without appeal. They offer community, which we all need, especially when we're feeling lonely or isolated or detached. They offer change. When we feel desperate, that's all we want. We don't care if it's good or bad or it harms others sometimes, though I wish we would consider that. A change is as good as a rest. And if they're offering change from our own situation, we'll latch onto that like a life raft. And sometimes they offer enlightenment, as if they're the first person to say the things they're saying. They're not. They're usually not. They're usually old philosophical talking points or old self-help things that were on sale in the fecking 70s in books that are yellowy and cornered and at the back end of the library. They're just repackaging. You can find packaging that doesn't contain the poison stuff, the misogyny, the racism, the transphobia. You can find it. You can find hope without blaming another group for what's happening to you. Because more often than not, the people selling you all this as if they invented all the hope, they're the people colluding in the system that is keeping you from getting what you need, in the system that is isolating you. They're getting super, super rich while talking about elites. They're setting themselves up as intellectual giants while talking about elites. I say, let's just take all of that with a pinch of salt. I'm not saying don't listen to them. I'm saying take them with a grain of salt. If they're asking you to question everything, which I think is a good thing, question everything. Don't get involved with a dogma. Question everything, including them. Ask what they're selling and who is benefiting. I'm really sad that at the moment, young white men in particular are being tricked. They're susceptible to being tricked because they feel so shut out. They feel like everything they were promised isn't materializing for them. Their pain, their real pain, their real loneliness, maybe even actual anxiety and depression, they're being exploited. Their pain is being blamed on others. And I would encourage those young men, none of them will be listening to me, but maybe you're in touch with them. They won't be listening to me. They're being told that I'm the enemy, that I'm an SJW feminist cuck whore. Nothing wrong with whores, by the way. We got to fight for sex workers' rights. Sex workers? Sex workers' rights. That's a real, sex workers' rights. I've got to say it more often. Obviously, I'm tongue twisted because I don't say it often enough. But you'll hear people saying things like, I want change. I'll vote for Trump. I'll vote for Brexit because no one in the government represents me. People going to meetings in Ireland right now where they're anti-immigration. We've taken in so few refugees. We don't have a massive immigration problem. We do have a systemic problem. Our government isn't representing a lot of us. It's leaving lots of people out. We'll have to change that at local elections. I won't be talking about it much because, as you know, parliamentary politics don't really do it for me, but that's who we should be targeting. That's where we should be focusing. Don't focus on immigrants that aren't these imaginary immigrants or an imaginary stranger that's trying to hurt you or take stuff from you. Focus on the representatives. Focus on the actual elites and let's get the best representatives in there. I hear you. Very few people in government represent me and I don't see very many viable alternatives, but I can't let that let me react so strongly that I turn against everyone else. I can't then go, I'll vote for someone on a racist ticket or someone who's only tweeting conspiracy theories just for change. We've got to get the right change and we've got to have the right targets. And when I say targets, I just mean the people we have in our focus for representing us. Well, I've said a lot already and I'll try and speed through the other things I have to say. This might need to be spread over more. I've talked about some of these things broadly before, but I actually think that a lot of those lads peddling this stuff, they have amazingly powerful podcasts or they have sold out lecture tours. And I do not blame the people buying what they're selling because a lot of what they're selling is hope. But they're selling hope at other people's expenses. And I wanted to look at these people in particular because they're reaching good, kind, clever people. These people are not stupid. In fact, they're so open to new thoughts that they'll put away good, kind, common sense and focus in the wrong place. They'll believe pseudoscience, even though they're in the guise of being super scientific. It must be amazing to be told that you are better than another person or group and that they are to blame, passing the buck like that. But beware of anyone telling you this. You are no better than anyone else. You're no better. I am no better than anyone else, but I'm no worse. I'm no worse. I'm not superior to anyone, but I'm not inferior either. and anyone selling you your own superiority at someone else's expense is a big fat discriminator. Or even if they don't discriminate in that way themselves, they might say, oh, I don't vote Trump. I think Trump's a terrible guy. I think racism is bad. But they're fine with discrimination. They're fine with not unpacking why Trump might not be the best leader for the free world, so-called. No one's immune to being tricked. Good, kind, smart people are being tricked. No one is purely rational. So anyone selling you that, their emotions are involved in things. And these people despise emotion. When people, they weaponize emotion so that if you're not a rational dude who's capable of debating, well, then that means you're discounted. But actually, the people the most emotional about this stuff is because they're directly affected. And then there are their allies who are indirectly affected. But it's very hard to discuss this stuff dispassionately unless you're not affected. And if you're not affected, why are you the spokesperson about this stuff? Question that when you see it. Self-appointed gurus, like I've said before, beware pedestals. Your fave is problematic. If someone allows guruship to happen without ever saying that they too are an idiot, fallible, stupid sometimes, and capable of getting things wrong when they're not directly affected by it, they're just out to take your money. And beware of this. Half of them don't believe what they're selling. Yeah, they don't even believe it. It's that cynical. Some people have said to me, they don't even believe that. They don't, but they're not racists. They're not sexists. Maybe they're not. That makes it even worse. And remember, you can already get what they're selling without the dodgy side order. It's funny to me that these rational big thinker so-called science men, they lure people in with comforting, appeasing things. And then they just slide in some overtly anti-LGBT junk science. They aren't even science men at all. Or I'm not directing this at you because the lads who are being reached by those science, so-called science men, they're not listening to this. But you might have their ears. Maybe this will help. All those different rational men, they come in slightly different flavors. So one will be overtly sexist, but will couch it with lots of useful stuff, genuinely useful stuff about mental health. And one will be anti-sexism, but they'll be mad about the subtle Islamophobia and then go full-on bioessentialist one time. Racism, and don't give me Islam is not a race. Islam isn't a race, but these people are not talking about white Islamic converts. There's a race element to what they're saying. And even if it's not about race, demonizing a group for their faith is just as bad. It's still discriminatory. But I spoke about subtle othering, subtle racism and racist B&B. It doesn't start overt. Discriminating or othering, it doesn't start overt. It doesn't start dangerous. It doesn't start with mosque shootings. It doesn't start with forced breeding or burning crosses on someone's lawn. It starts with being normalized. So it starts with jokes about a group. It starts with debates where people are just asking questions about a marginalized group. It starts with the both sides are as bad as each other narrative, where one side's clear, if hidden, motive is to be rid of the other side, sometimes physically at the extreme end. But they're being invited in to radio stations and all of that to have a discussion about both sides-ism. Bin both sides-ism now. Being neutral isn't neutral. Silence on these issues is a statement. I believe it is very important not to be in the middle right now. The kindest, might sound ironic, but the kindest, most civil action right now is not to be nice. Don't be tricked, back to trickery, don't be tricked into being civil about stuff that is deeply uncivil at its heart. These lads are too clever to say they're out to burn crosses. And I'm not saying that the rational lads with the podcasts or the lecture tours are the ones who are going to go out and commit violence. They never will. But they are ignoring the fact that many of their followers are, and that should be a deal breaker for you. Find your information or your hope elsewhere. There are plenty of places. Just go and seek it out. Maybe go and seek help. You might be suffering from depression. If you feel desperate, talk to people. That sounds oversimplistic, but get help if you can. Don't suffer in silence. Don't be on your own. We're all here for you. We're on your side. But when you other and demonize, you're isolating yourself even more and you're going to a very dark place. this won't be heard by the people who need it. Maybe you will meet one of them, and maybe you'll be able to help them. Hearing out people who just have questions that end up demonizing another group, it doesn't work. Debate doesn't work. And when people get overt and start to speak in a violent way, you have to deplatform. I really believe that. You have to say, I hear your ideas. They are not good ideas. They are harmful to a huge group of people, not in my house, like we said last week. And if you believe that you should debate them, well, it means you're safe. It means you're being tricked because you don't think you'll ever be affected by what they're saying. They're duping you. They just want to use you as a way to make civilized what they're saying, which is uncivilized. They want to say their shit loud, and they want to say, they, if you debate them, even if you argue their point and you so-called win the debate, they'll just say they owned you because they'll speak louder. Their followers or the people who want to hear the awful shit they're saying, the dog whistles that maybe you can't hear, they'll be heard by the people they want to hear them. And if you give them a wider audience, you're complicit. So here are my tips. I don't have many. I'm trying to figure this out myself. I'm actually really upset this week to know that so many good people have been tricked. But they're good people. So I'm hoping that they're open enough to really think about this. So I say, when you hear people peddling this stuff or people ignoring this stuff, even to peddle hope, just ignoring a bit of this stuff, they need to be accountable for what they're letting through. So I say, disrupt. Name. Lose patience. Get emotional. It's okay to be emotional when you care about something. I'm proud that I'm upset this week. I'm proud that I'm angry. Be less nice. Have hard conversations with people slipping down this road. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable. You might lose friends, but you might help them come back from a really nasty place where they believe that they're better than others because someone else has sold them that to make them feel good. But now they've opened a door that it would be just great if they could come back from and close. People are already getting hurt. So get emotional. Sorry, get emotional. Those least affected are the ones who have the luxury of maintaining calm. And that's why I think the fetishizing of debate is one of the worst things that's happened. It's become the core theme of this podcast over the months. Yeah, this is a really heartfelt one. Have those conversations. They're not easy. It's okay to say to someone, that is a bad idea. It is historically proven as a bad idea. Stop it. It might lose you friends. But maybe you can bring them back from the brink. I don't know. Oh, thank you to everyone who's listened. I'm sorry, this was a bit of a sad one. Thank you for listening. We started with poop and we ended up hopefully with the fact that there's hope. And a bit of an announcement. I am actually leaving the Head Stuff Podcast Network. I'm not sure when. It's been a really tricky decision. The lads have been so great and so kind and free studio time and all of that. And I want to really thank them for all of that. The use of their network for the Raging book and everything like that that has happened out of the relationship, which has been so great. Alan and Paddy, thank you so much. I'm not sure when I'll be taking my leave. I'm looking at a few new homes. So thank you to everyone who's been listening on the Head Stuff Podcast Network, and stay tuned for where we head to next. It should still be really easy to find. It'll still be Taranoia. And thank you to Brian for helping me this week with the podcast and making it sound a bit better. I'm sorry that he's the one who has to listen to my SJW cuck whining all the time. In fact, on that topic, it's really fascinating how many people who just want to say the N-word and you can't say anything anymore, and me too has gone too far. They're usually people who have nothing to lose in this life to say everything they want. And why do you, like we've discussed before, why do you want to say it? Sounds to me a bit whiny. Dare I say it? A little bit whiny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have a bigger brain just because you feel like you have the intellectual freedom to say everything. Thing is, you do have the intellectual freedom to say everything. You're not going to be put in jail. Not in these parts, but Why is it that what you're fighting to say? It really, I despair. I despair. It upsets me. It frightens me that that's what you're fighting to say. Anyway, I could go on for an hour on this one. I will try and get experts in on the various things we're discussing because I don't have the tools to discuss this in depth. I don't have the psychological chops. A lot of those dudes don't either, but they're going to pretend they do. They don't have the lived experience, but they'll go on and say it anyway. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to me rant. And now, a Flintspiring. You are loved. You are beautiful. You can get the tenor to me later. That was a Flintspiring I did a few years ago, where the joke, of course, is to deconstruct it. The joke is that the only reason I'm saying you are loved and you are beautiful is because you've slipped me a tenor. Now, you can, of course, slip me a tenor on patreon.com/Tara Flynn IRL, but you don't have to. You honestly don't have to. I am so grateful to my patrons, and thank you to the new patrons this month. We don't have a ton of patrons, but hopefully we will get a few more and we'll be able to keep this podcast going. If you find it useful, if you've come back more than once, listen. The listening to it is the main thing. And if we can keep the numbers going up, that will be a wonderful thing. But your patronage is so appreciated. But the joke was that if you give me a tenner, I'll say nice things to you. But as you know, I don't say nice things because I'm bought. I sometimes don't say nice things at all. And I would tell you if I thought you were harming someone else. I'd have to. But this is also the truth. You are loved. And you are beautiful. And you are enough. And you might be in pain. And you might be feeling lonely. But you're not on your own. Oh. Thanks, fellow Egypts. See you soon.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.